We started a ministry called Hunter's Hope. What our mission is down there is we try to show Matthew 25 while also using Matthew 28, the concepts that are in those two scriptures. What we do on a daily basis normally is during the year, we have groups that come in, mainly during the summers, but also staggered throughout the year. We build houses with them. We serve rice and beans in the dump on a weekly basis. That's another one of our ministries. Me and Nicole run a feeding center that we feed approximately 200 kids a day, and we serve different foods every day. We play with them, study the Bible with them. We have a weekly Bible study with the moms that go there, where we're able to stay with them and not just, we teach them about Jesus, but a lot of times in Honduras, people have a faith that's just kind of minimal. They get baptized and then everybody kind of just lets them go. What we try to do is have a faith that is building and going up to where they're learning more and more about Jesus and more about the scriptures. A lot of people that are baptized in Honduras maybe only know a little bit of Matthew, a little bit of John, they don't really have a very high level of knowledge of the Bible. When we have teams, we give out food, which is a really cool thing to do. We're able to go to the market and fill up my entire truck worth of vegetables and just different things, and then we're able to go out with the groups and have a community of people that might not have any food in their house, and they line up and they get to go and have all these fruits and vegetables they can cook for their family that night. We've also been very strong in trying to mentor kids. A lot of the kids that we work with could be in gangs, could be in a lot of different bad situations, but instead they're learning about Jesus and learning how to be a man of God or a woman of God. Right now we have a video that kind of just outlines our ministry a little bit. Kind of gives you a visual of where we live, what we do on a daily basis. Right now I'm going to read from Matthew 25, 31 through 40. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him. He will sit on the glorious throne and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates his sheep from his goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed, be my father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom is prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothing, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty, or give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needed clothing and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go to visit you? The king replied, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for the least of my brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. This is a really, really strong passage to me, and something that we really try to focus on in our ministry. When we're serving people, we're able to feed the hungry. We're able to provide drink to people that those who are thirsty. We're able to be hospitable to those who are strangers. And we're able to do that. I'm going to tell you a story right now about my first house that I ever built. This was like in 2007, before my first trip ever there. We were going to a really, really poor community. But what's different about this house is normally when we go build a house, we tell the people to clear off the land, make sure everything's out of the house, at a friend's house or something, and they need to stay with the wood. Well, back then, we did it a little differently, where this lady could not move herself out. So I saw what her house looked like, and it was horrible. It had probably tin around most of it, and the other part, it had just plastic with holes in it. When we say a tin roof, that's really being nice. because there was holes probably this big in it. And every night that she slept, she was getting rained. When it rained, she got rained on. When it was cold, she got that gust of wind in, and it was all through her house. You didn't feel really sheltered at that house. And when we went in, we were taking stuff out and moving. She didn't have much, but she had some canisters of water, a little bed, maybe something to cook on. Well, I was moving one of the things of water, and then when I moved out, I was wearing shorts that day, and I moved it, and then I feel something crawling up my leg, and I realize I have about 50 roaches crawling up the back of my leg. That image sets into me of what a drastic image she was in, and how we are able to serve people even in that situation. That's a drastic situation there, but we are able to serve them. And then it really is cool to be able to meet people at their lowest, their lowest point, and be able to give them something that are really happy about. Our houses that you've seen, some of those up there, they're just wooden buildings. They're what you would consider a shed. You know, they're only 18 by 18 feet. They're not big. But to them, it's a new start and a new life and it's the ability to start a new start for them. A lot of them, that's when you give them that, you're making them not have to rent from somebody. You're helping them financially out in that way, where they get to eventually get a better life. And then now I'm going to talk to you about the first time that I went to the dump. This is when I was back in college. Probably the second or third time I went to Honduras. There is a guy, I worked at Harding at the time, and he went up to me and said, I got $100 here. I want you to use it when you go to Honduras. And this guy was not someone who you would think of as a clean-cut person whatsoever. He had a mullet. But he loved Jesus. That's the most important part, is that not to judge a book by its cover. And that's how the Dump Ministry started. The first week when we did it, we did bean sandwiches and bananas. And they said, "You didn't bring water?" I was like, "Oh, we didn't think about that." And it was a stressful time because we didn't know the people. We didn't have their confidence yet. But now it's a ministry that I take groups week in and week out during the summers, and ages from 85 to 12. And they're able to go in, talk to these people who they might be in the gang. They might be in different situations. They might be there because they're a drug addict. They might be there for just bad decisions because they're born there. There's no telling. But the thing is, we're able to go there, have a relationship with them, shake their hand, give them a hug, show them love. And that's honestly, as you see a lot of homeless ministries in the States, that's the more important part than you giving them food, is that relationship, is what they're trying to get. And I have people that are coming back every year, and every year they're asking, when do you have groups coming back? We want to talk to those gringos. And they get real excited about being able to have that relationship with us. One of the things that I tell people when they go to the dump that is really important to me is to look at them and see the eyes of Jesus. Because as you're doing it, you are giving Jesus a plate of rice and beans. You are giving Jesus a hug, even though he smells horrible. That go into the dump, test all of your senses, but we are doing this to Jesus. As we go out into, we also go into communities and hand out food. As that feeble old lady, and you walk them to their house, you're really giving that to Jesus. Because everything is for him. And you're just embodying him. He is using you to embody himself through service. In Genesis 1:26, God created all men in his image. That's something I really try to talk to a lot of people about, is just because they're different doesn't mean they're any better than you. We also have a feeding center, which I love going there. The first time we had the feeding center, I'd never done an event there, so I didn't really know what to expect. So we had pinatas, we made Chinese fried rice, and they were excited about that. But when we got to the pinatas, I started them, and I didn't know how crazy it was going to be, because I've done pinatas before in Honduras, but some of the kids started hitting it, and then once that candy flew, you had a swarm, about 200 kids on top of candy, that you couldn't even tell a difference of who was who. Some of those fun experiences end up being some of the most interesting ones. My favorite thing about being there is we're able to, let's see, my favorite thing that we're able to do is we're able to have a relationship with the moms and relationship with the kids. The other day, Nicole was at the feeding center trying to get names just so we can get a little more organized at the feeding center. And some of the moms tend to lie because they want a little extra food at home. I don't really blame them, but I only have a limited amount of funds, so we have to be a little, you know, just be in order with that. She was talking to this kid, and she asked him what his name was, and he said, "Chico." He said, why are you named Chico?" He's like, "Because Matt calls me that all the time." I have so many kids, I have to start making up names because it's really hard to remember all of them. And then it's just really cool to see the relationships that you build with the ladies and the trust that we built over the past 2 to 3 years with them. And they're finally starting to open up and trust that when you grow in a really poor community, that trust in that other person is not the easiest thing to do. And so we're starting to build bridges and get in a way where we're able to talk to them. So I've thought a lot about this. What would Matthew 25 might look where we live here? And I thought maybe it might be working with the homeless, mentoring a young mom who's in a lot of need, helping a foster family with clothing, or maybe even fostering kids yourself, visiting and praying with the sick in the hospital, or doing different things. Something we try to do in our ministry is we try to encourage everyone that comes with us to be able to translate what we do there here. We've had a team from Childress. They really like building houses, so they decided to do their own. They bought a house and redid it and found a family that was deserving, that really needed a house, and gave this lady a house. It took them about 6 to 8 months, but that's what they decided to do. They had a lot of people with a lot of different skills and a lot of guys that owned construction companies that ended up helping out a lot. But it's really cool to hear people see what we're doing in Honduras and be like, hey, I can do this. There's a guy in Atlanta that started a homeless ministry, and they feed hundreds upon hundreds of kids every single kids and adults every single week. And that stuff he saw in Honduras when we were feeding the dump ministry. He's like, I can do this in my hometown. It's just really, really awesome to see that. Right now, I'm going to read Matthew 28:18-20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded of you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. There's in this passage, there it says a lot, and it commands us to go. Which, when I read go, obviously, for me and my wife, we went to Honduras, and you can go to any country and become a missionary. But it also means to go where you are. You can go to, you might have someone at work that really needs Jesus and really just needs a friend to talk to. You might have someone, if you're in school, that you can talk to. You might just have someone that you play cards with on the weekends or go watch football with, and they need that person to be able to talk to and be encouraged in that way. We need to be people that mentor people, but all types of people. And that includes not just talking to them, but building an actual relationship with them. So it doesn't mean you just talk to them about Jesus. It means go play basketball with them or go do something with them that they actually feel a connection. And then that you'll be able to grow in that way, to be able to have a mentorship, to be able to walk them along. A lot of times, one really important thing, I'm going to go split to talk to you about two girls. This is the one on the far with Nicole is Johanna, and she is a very special girl. She grew up in the dump. Her mom really, really doesn't love her a whole lot. She just kind of tries to take from her whatever she can. She had a really hard life. She had her first baby when she was 17 and her second baby when she was 21. She's about 23, 24 right now. And she's trying to live right. She's actually stopped working in the dump for the first time of her life and is washing clothes. our ministry tries to help her kids go to school right now, and but she's walking through her life and trying to live it out for God the best she can. But she's still on her beginning walk. She's not quite baptized yet. We've been talking to her. So that's an ongoing process. So pray for her. And then there's Anjali. She's one of the sweetest little girls you'll ever meet. She is a really, really special place in Nicole's heart. She lives with her grandma. Everyone in this community that she lives around, she goes to the feeding center with us. There's every reason for her not to be the sweet, innocent little girl she is, because she sees people murdered on a daily basis. She sees people that people that's selling drugs, doing the wrong thing, but she decides to do the right thing. And right now, she's just a sweet little girl that we're hoping that with our encouragement is able to walk through the right path. And then there's baptism. Baptism to me is the first step of Christianity. I pray that all of us walk beyond baptism and decide to follow God every day and make that choice every day. And that's why I talk so much about the continued mentoring process. Because you need people to help you along the way. You need parents or friends or just someone who knows more than you to be able to walk you along your Christian walk. Because it's not just, the goal isn't just to get baptized. The goal is to live with Jesus forever. It's a continual process. And these are two other people that have been baptized that were still doing that mentoring process with. One over there is Laylee. She's right now struggling a lot, but me and Nicole are trying to walk through some stuff with her. But she loves Jesus, and she wants to live for him every day. She's also from the feeding center. She's a little older, but we've gotten to know her through different people. And she's an encouragement and a sweet girl, and we hope that she continues to walk with Jesus. And the other one's Brian. He was at the children's home, but because of some decisions he made, he walked away. But he just turned 18, and right now me and Nicole are really involved in his life. He comes and eats dinner with me and Nicole every day, so he's really missing us right now. But he's a sweet young man. My girls consider him just like one of their older brother, and he loves on them like that. So he has every reason in his life to be a gang member, to be someone who doesn't follow Jesus. He had every opportunity. His mom wanted him to quit school and beg on the street, so she could have more money. And he said, no, I'm going to go to school. No, I'm going to go to church. He walked to church by himself for several years. And we decided to help him out and love on him. And he's ended up being more like a son to me as we started mentoring him and loving on him. And he's just a special kid. Sometimes I forget he's 18, but... I pray every day that he walks the right way and does the right thing, and whatever girl he's talking to at the time, he treats with respect and just loves on them. Something that through doing this study I've asked myself, and while I've been in Honduras, is why is Matthew 25 and 28 so important? In my work in ministry, one of the most important things you can do is help the poor, is to meet them where they are. It's kind of hard to really listen to Jesus when you haven't eaten in 2 or 3 days. Or it's kind of hard to hear the Bible when you haven't you slept really bad because you had to sleep outside. I don't really know what that's like. I didn't grow up in a way where I really understand that, but I've seen people that have to do that on a daily basis, so I know it's true. Because usually when you talk to them, you have to go hit through a couple walls. I pray every day that I don't experience that, but I pray that I listen to them with understanding. And it's true. In Jesus' ministry, he did the same thing. He healed the sick. He was very active. He healed the sick. He washed the disciples' feet. He was all about service. He loved on kids. He told the kids to come straight up to him and love on him and give him hugs and treat him and just come up there, even though the disciples didn't want him to. And he ate with sinners. He ate with people who me and you would never want to go up and eat with. I don't know anyone that I know that would go up and go search out a prostitute and say, hey, I'm going to take you out to dinner tonight. Or go up to someone who is a meth head and be like, let's go eat. You look a little hungry right now. Jesus did that. But he also, at the same time, spoke the word of God and really connected with people. And he changed the world through him being able to talk to other people about Jesus. In the same way, we need to have, the goal is to have that relationship. But in our ministry and with people here, poor here, you need to see them, help them meet their needs in a good way and have that relationship with them. As Christians, we should help them in their walk with Jesus. We shouldn't just be people that sit on the sideline. Sometimes it's easier to sit in a pew and just come here on Sundays. But when you see that homeless person down the street begging for money, maybe see what's going on in their life. Maybe see why they're where they are, and maybe there's something simple you can do to help them out just for that one day. You never know what that one little seed is going to do to help them and their walk with Jesus. These two principles are something that I've thought a lot about and a lot and really concentrated on. The thing that's really hard to do is the balancing act between the two. And I know it's hard because you want to teach people about Jesus. You want them to be saved, but you also want to serve them in a way that honors them. My prayer is that here you find someone in your own life where you're able to help and you're able to serve them and teach them about Jesus. Do both of them. Be able to do that in that way. Our ministry encourages people to serve where you're at, serve abroad, serve everywhere. So right now I'm going to pray. And then if anybody wants to ask me questions about our ministry or anything else, I'm open to that. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you that I'm able to be here and speak to our church here. It's such a blessing. Help us to live lives of service and of sharing your name. Help us to be people that are able to reach people where they're at and to love them in their situation and to help them through it, and help us to be people that are able to share your love with everyone we come in contact with. Just I pray. Amen. On Sunday, the church I work with, five different churches. We planted a church this summer, and they have about 50 or 60 members and about 60 kids. So it's a pretty thriving church for only being a couple months old. We also, the church that I go with the children, so I'm with, I kind of rotate churches, is what me and Nicole decided to do, to be able to love them and love different people in different parts of the city. and their church has about 30 or 40 members and about 50 or 60 kids, but their youth group went from 0 to 20 over the past year. So that's an awesome thing. We help support a church in Santa Ana, and they're growing every day. Right now they have about 80 adults and about 50, 60 kids. Am I missing anybody? Los Pinos, yeah, they have about 70 or 80 adults, and then they have 100 to 150 kids. They have a lot of kids. So, yeah, all their rooms are filled to the brim with kids falling out of there. But what's really cool about that church is on all of their money, when they do an offering, it goes back to support their children. They're able to give all their kids a snack during church. So that's what they use all their money for. It's a very poor area, but it's just really cool to see people use their money in a way that really goes back to and supports their kids and hopefully makes their church grow. It's a little different. So, and the church where we built, it's actually an Indian reservation this summer. And I said, what could I help y'all with? They said, a church building. They said, we have people that believe in Jesus. We just want a church building. I said, I can help you with that. That's not that hard. So I had some friends that were with me when we did that day. And when he went back to the States, within a month, he had $10,000 for a church building, which is awesome. So now we're trying to, part of our ministry that we're trying to expand right now is I am working with Baxter to find a guy who wants to help me. As an American, when I go preach, I can talk to them, and they'll think I might give them a house. So they'll go get baptized just because of that. I want people to get baptized because they believe in Jesus, not because they think I'm going to give them something. So I'm going to work with a guy's going to work with us, and he's going to be an evangelist for us. And I want him to be able to train ministers up. There's a program called CELA with Baxter Institute, and they go out to those areas and teach them about Jesus and teach them how to be preachers. And so that's a program that they have out there that we're going to work with them, and hopefully every 2 years we'll be able to have a church plan out, a new church started. So, and we won't have to find funding for a preacher like you do a lot of times for different places, because there'll be people from the community. So. Yeah. Yeah. It's a community center too. It's used for the community. Everything we do, we try to do around the church, so the community can see that where God's working. You know. They're like 30 by 40 or something around there. 30 by 40 feet. They're not huge, but they're not tiny. You can fit 60 people in pretty comfortably. Yeah, and then we have seated chairs. Yeah. In the back end, we got a baptistry. But you got to open up the baptistry and walk in. It is pretty cold water. Oh, yeah, this summer we're doing a second feeding center where we just planted a church. So that's one of our newer things we're doing. So we're excited about that. There might be about 60 kids that go there because there's just not that many kids in the community right now. So, but we're excited. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes if they're lucky, they can get a lot of them don't have education or don't have the paperwork to get a real, what would you consider a real job, or the education to go along with it. So what they find odd jobs kind of to do, and so that's one thing that she's found to do. Another thing some people might do is they'll get hired to clean the streets and wash clothes for people or clean their houses. So those are, or make tortillas. There's just different things. Yeah, they're when you recycle stuff and put it out, that's what they're doing. We don't recycle stuff in Honduras, really. So what they do is they go bag up all the plastic bottles, all the green bottles, all the glass, all the cardboard, and they'll bring it to a waste station, and they get paid for the materials they bring in. So, but you're only talking about $4 or $5 a day. You're not talking about, oh, I'm really living high on the hog, you know. You're not bringing home a steak dinner every night. But, yeah. Yeah, and it's really, really hard to adopt anyone. We're also associated with a children's home, so we have about 20 kids, and half of them are special needs. So it's just a bad situation. Yeah, a lot of them have been abused, and yeah. There's a lot of situations that where we have kids. At our home, we probably have, probably only two of them have actually really been, two to four of them have been orphaned, and the rest of them have been either abused physically, mentally, or verbally. And then we have a couple that we have two kids that their dad is just like, I don't have the money to support my kids. So I'm giving up my rights because I know you can take care of my kids better than I can. Which that's a different situation in itself too. But yeah. Well, it was a privilege being able to talk to y'all. I'm really glad I was able to do this. And if any of y'all ever get a chance to come to Honduras, come see me. Yeah, I have people come and do that all the time. So if you ever, if you feel called in your heart that you want to come do a vision trip for a week, come and see me, and we'll have a lot of fun, and it's great. Okay, thank you. Yeah, I'll give you my Facebook. Look under Nicole Fitzgerald or Matt Fitzgerald.